Welcome to the Lansdale Life Church Podcast. If you're seeking a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us today.
We're going to be reading in Numbers 23 and 24. The title of the message is Irreversible Blessing. I hope that made sense in the reverse Uno card when you saw that come through. You know, I tried to change it up. My dad has all those, like, hand-drawn, like, ancient Jewish pictures, and they're great and all, but I thought that would be kind of funny. So, John Kratt, he did a great job setting up Balak, Balaam, the story, the people behind it. It's a crazy passage. Honestly, this whole, like, these two chapters, the one before, are such an interesting, like, passage in the Old Testament. I love it. Like, he's talking to his donkey like it's no big deal. Like, what is happening? So maybe they talked more often back then. We didn't know. I don't know. But, yeah, so it's just it's a fun passage, and I love just the power of God's word. It seems like Balaam, when you read it, is like the main character, you know. He's like with the kings. He's calling the shots. He's saying he has the knowledge of Almighty God. And when you read it, you actually realize that God's the main character. And the fact that his word is true and his blessing can't be removed, that's the main point. Balaam is just like a pawn in that whole storyline. So I'm excited to get into it. But one thing I just wanted to share, it's a more modern story of like a curse and the power of God over it. This one pastor I like, he said back in his early days in ministry, he went out to a Native American, Native American reservation to preach the gospel. And I've been to one. We played a concert at one back when we were doing music, and such a weird concert, but it's like a pretty dark environment, and it was in New Mexico, and they say land of the enchantment or something. It's all like really spiritual. So he was at this Native American reservation preaching the gospel, and it was going well. And then this guy walked in, and he could just feel the darkness on this guy. And as soon as he walked in, like suddenly people kind of stopped paying attention. They're just kind of talking, and there's this like kind of confusion and a bit of chaos going on. And he just felt in his spirit, like, this guy is, you know, there's something on this guy. It's dark. It's, you know, spiritual. And him being in this room is causing everybody to just, like, move on and not listen to the gospel. And so out of nowhere, I love this. I hope I would have the courage to do this. Out of nowhere, like, he walks up and kind of, like, looks at him. And he feels the darkness. And out of nowhere, this pastor just screams as loud as he can into the mic. He's like, Jesus! And then they're in, like, you know, those metal buildings that are, like, real loud. It's not even a rainy day. And there's a thunderbolt that just shakes the building one time. And the guy runs out. And the fear of God was in that place. And afterwards, he found out that was the local witch doctor that walked into the service. So Satan and what man means for bad, you know, God always turns around. That person coming in to bring confusion, God turned it right around to the fear of the Lord in that place, and the gospel had even more power. Amen. So before we jump into it, I also want to point out this guy Balaam, if he can hear the voice of God, like how much more can we, right? If God confronts him with, you know, the angel of the Lord and a sword and saying, your ways are perverse to me, and then he speaks to him these four times, how much more should we as believers, filled with the Spirit of God and sealed by the Holy Spirit, be able to hear him speak? Amen? Like, we need to expect to hear God. If we feel like we can't hear him on things in our life, we don't hear him when we read his word, we just need to, like, step back, get rid of distraction, get into a quiet place, like Jesus says, you know, go into the secret place where your heavenly Father waits, where he meets you. He's in the secret place. So he will speak to you. You just need to give him some time. Go into the secret place and talk to him. So I hope that's an encouragement. If anyone is feeling like, I just don't feel close to God, like you are, just give him some time and get into the secret place. All right. So there is a curse, Balak wants Balaam to curse the Israelites, right? He brings them out and all this way and, you know, says he'll give them all this money, all this fame and everything. And it's a little kind of confusing because it seems like Balak's a good guy. He's like, I will do nothing past what the Lord says. But in reality, we see all through the Bible in the Old Testament and the New that that's not really his heart. Like, he was using magic during this to try and hopefully conjure up a different result from God to actually curse them so he could get all this. And it even says that he was responsible. He gave counsel to Moab to then bring all these women in and all these idols so that Israel would stumble, so they would fall into sin. So, like, he looks like a good guy. He's not. And so we're going to walk through that a bit. But while they're trying to get a curse, twice a day, Aaron is giving this blessing, and I love it. It says, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you should bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So while all this is going on, which they're completely unaware of, right? Israel didn't even know that there was these big powers at play trying to curse them so they'd be killed off by Moab. And they had no idea, but the blessing of the Lord stayed true, that he blessed them, he kept them. That means to keep safe, keep close to him. And he had so much love for them. We also read in Nehemiah, in Deuteronomy, it says, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. He decided he wanted to turn this curse into a blessing because he loves you. And that's what that blessing from Aaron is saying. Lord, make his face shine upon you. Be gracious. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So there's blessing, protection, delight of the Lord, love, grace, presence, peace. All of this is being spoken over them twice a day, and they're believing it. And the curses of the enemy have zero power over them. And I love what Matthew Henry, he has a commentary. I've talked about him before. He's from the 1600s. So if you want to take a step back from some woke culture's influence on the Bible, go back to this guy. And he says, neither Moses nor the elders of Israel know anything of the matter, nor are in a capacity to break the snare. But God, who keeps Israel and neither slumbers nor sleeps, baffles the attempt without any intercession or effort of theirs. Isn't that awesome? That's the God that we serve. So let's jump in. We're kind of going to, I'll give a little commentary between them, but we're going to focus more on the prophecies themselves. There's four of them. The last one kind of is a few at the same time. So let's start chapter 23, verse 1. Then Balaam said to Balak, build 7 altars for me here and prepare for me here 7 bulls and 7 rams. And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, stand by your burnt offerings and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me. And whatever he shows me, I will tell you. So he went to a desolate height and God met Balaam. And he said to him, I have prepared the 7 altars and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram. Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, and this is what he said. I'm going to pause that right there. I love that God doesn't respond. Like, he doesn't say, good job with those 7. You know my number. And I love the bull and the ram, and the way you put those things together is pretty nice. Like, this is really kind of like an abomination to the Lord, because the verse later we'll see is he's also doing like magic and stuff, and he's hopefully trying to get God to curse Israel so he can get the wealth. And the only people who are supposed to be offering these types of offerings to the Lord is the priests. They're the priests that should be doing that. And it's on the one altar with the one fire in the tabernacle of the Lord. So this is mercy that God didn't just wipe him out right then. And he doesn't even speak to him and say, like, good job or anything. I just love that he is silent. He's like, I'm not going to address that. Let's get right to the point. Your curse isn't going to work. So this is what he said. So he took up his oracle, verse 7, and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me and come denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? From the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills behold him. There, a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number one-fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his." So here he's saying, these people are approved by God. These people can never be denounced by God. It's his own special people. And he's saying, too, that these curses won't work. How could he do that? It's not going to do anything. And it goes on to say, acknowledging their holiness. They're separate. They are not accounting or reckoning themselves with the nations. They're completely separate. And there's so many of them. Like, they are strong and powerful. And all of this is such a fulfillment of promises over these people, right? Like, think back to Abraham, like, more than the stars of the sky, more than the dust of, or, you know, the sand of the shores, right? The sand of the sea. Like, they won't be able to be numbered. And here he is, thousands of years later, saying exactly the same thing. Like, they are a great nation. They are blessed by God. They are chosen. And these curses will have no effect. And, you know, the Bible says that we are grafted into the true Israel, right? These promises are for us, that we are a holy, separate people, that we are chosen by God if we trust in Jesus. And no one can denounce us. Like, there is no, we can't commit sin to fall from grace, right? The Bible talks about falling from grace when we choose not to believe in Jesus and his grace, and we think it's by works we get into heaven. So there is such a profound promise to us that, hey, you can't be cursed by the enemy because God's blessing is on you. And then we're going to jump to the second prophecy. And I love how Balak, he tries to take him to another spot where the people might look a little worse. He's like, let's go where you just see part of them because they were pretty impressive. Let's go around to this side and maybe you'll have something different to say. So he took up his oracle, verse 18, and says, he said to the king, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and he will not do? Or has he spoken and he will not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox, for there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look, a people rises like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain." There's a lot here. You have heard some of these nuggets being used, right? God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. This is coming from Balaam. Isn't that crazy? Like, this is, you know, this guy who, because of what the Lord, the word that put in him, we are still saying these things. And it's really inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I think it's amazing that God used him in this way. But it shows the character of God. He's not ever going to change his mind about us. He's not going to say, actually, you know what? You know, he messed up. She messed up. Like, oh, this is a little bit too much forgiveness for them. Yeah, I'm repenting and I'm going to change my mind on them. Like, he does not lie. If he says you're accepted into the beloved, into his family, you are. And he would never repent because he's not a man. He's perfect and he's God. And if what he's spoken over you will come to pass, right? We know that he is the author and finisher of our faith. He goes before us. He makes a way for us to walk in holiness. There's just so much greatness in the promises of God. And I also see, too, like, already this is a picture of the gospel, right? It says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. If you've been here for the last few months, I mean, come on, right? Like, every other chapter is iniquity and sin and wickedness and all this rebellion. And here he's saying, like, God does not see their wickedness or their iniquity. He doesn't see it. And why? Well, we know that, one, this sacrificial system was giving them, you know, the sins are being atoned for. But we also know that their faith in the Word of God, the sacrificial system, was setting them up to ultimately be completely wiped clean by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So their sins would be ultimately 100% forgiven. That's why God says he didn't even see their sin. He doesn't see their iniquity. There is no wickedness that he perceives in the Israelites. And how much more for us, right? Like now living in Christ, his death and his resurrection has already happened. There, we need to have boldness in the power of Jesus' blood. We need to realize, one, hey, like I don't want to conform to this world. I don't want to sin. But if I step into temptation a little too far and I do something I regret and I sin in some way, I need to go right back to God. Like, do you remember that Switchfoot song, Maybe Forgiveness is Right Where You Fell? I love that line. Because right when you fall, all it takes is to just look to Jesus again and find forgiveness. Because he doesn't perceive iniquity and wickedness in you. He doesn't. He sees you the way he sees his son, Jesus Christ, because we have his righteousness. Let's jump to prophecy number 3. Verse 27. Then Balak said to Balaam, please come. I will have you, actually, let's go to chapter 24, verse 1. Now, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped, according to the tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Then he took up his oracle, and the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of a man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. He shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt, and he has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who shall rouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. So we see here, verse 1 of that chapter. Now, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel. Do you realize how powerful that really is right there? That it's not that he had to bless Israel because he made a promise he had to stick with it. But it pleased him to bless Israel. And God loves to bless us. And this isn't some prosperity gospel because I'm not even talking about money, right? There's so much more blessing spiritually in God. Like what we have inside and what we have as the bride of Christ, what we have to look forward to in heaven is of so much more value than anything we can get on this side of eternity. And it pleases him to bless us. In Ephesians 2, it says, verse 7, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And you know, sometimes if you've been raised in more of a legalistic background, I remember there was someone who came and preached at our Christian school's like Wednesday morning thing. They'd have, I forget what they call that, chapel. And he, his message was from that book, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, I didn't read that book, and maybe it's like got a real good ending, but the title doesn't sound too good. And his message felt like just the title the whole time. And so it was, and also in Bible class, we had to write every week an essay called a cringe essay. And we had to say something we did that week that made God cringe. Ooh, isn't that just bad? And so, like, yeah, I love the school. There's a lot of good things. But those things miss the mark. And, you know, it's easy to fall into that legalism because we can just kind of be drawn to the negative things of the word when we see what he calls sin, how he feels about things, or the way of the world, what he talks about. And we just forget that, hey, it pleases the Lord to bless me. It pleases the Lord for him to show kindness towards us, exceeding riches of his mercy and his grace. So we need to like pull back the curtain of thinking everything's always about sin all the time and thinking that he's disappointed in us in some way, or thinking that he, you know, just regrets, you know, whatever. We need to like rip that curtain down and let the true light of the gospel into our lives and realize that he is so pleased to bless us and to show his love and his mercy to us. And I see too here, like, he talks all about a lot of things that are like in Psalms that about like the water of the Lord coming upon them. And what a great picture of like what it's like spiritually, like his blessing, that we grow strong. Like there's vitality, there's so much abundant life when we are in God and we are receiving his blessings for us, that, you know, all these pictures, you know, are true inside of us, that we feel strong, we feel blessed, there's so much life, there's no depression or anxiety or insecurity or all these things that plague mankind, really can be solved just by receiving the blessings of God, by believing what he said, trusting him, getting into that secret place with him, and just letting him wash that stuff away, like this water talks about, and strengthen us from the inside. And to go even further, I just love how Balaam had that verse that was spoken to Abraham, that blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. We are protected in this life. Like, curses have no strength over us at all. Just like that guy who came in and tried to mess up the gospel being preached, and he runs out and everyone wants to give their lives to Jesus, right? The curses have no power over us, and God looks out for us. Like, when people of the world bless us, I do believe God blesses them so they can see the love of God. And when they curse us, God deals with them. Like, he will. Like, he avenges. He doesn't just allow justice to never happen. He brings justice and he protects his children. And I totally missed an awesome point from the previous one that I just want to talk about real quick. And that was where it says that there's a shout of a king among them. My Bible has K capitalized, king. There's a shout of a king among his people. And Israel had no king. But the prophecy that is so rich in that is that Balaam realized by the Spirit of God that the king of kings and the Lord of lords was inside the people. The presence of God was dwelling among them, right inside that tabernacle, that pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. His very presence was there, and he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is nobody over him. There is nobody over him. And I just love that, because even like it speaks of Jesus coming, like he was an Israelite, but like he is the King of kings, that now in the new covenant, he actually is inside of us. He's not just in the tabernacle, but he's inside the tabernacle of our hearts. So let's jump to the fourth one, verse 15. So he took up his oracle and said, "The utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of a man whose eyes are opened, and the utterance of a man who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty and falls down with eyes wide open." You can tell he really liked that line. You know, he wanted to use it a second time. And in the commentaries I read on this, it's pointing out actually his ambition and pride here. That he, like, you read the true prophets, and they're like, "Who am I?" And they are just humble, falling down before the Lord. And he's saying, "Hey, I fell down with my eyes open, and I have the knowledge of the Most High." So, honestly, I don't think that part, maybe God said to him, he's prefacing what God said with, "Look at me." So, just wanted to call that out. Verse 17, this is powerful, guys. "I see him, but not now." Capital H, him. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob." a scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. That's why they believe the wise men were searching for a star. That verse right there. Right there, they read that and said, hey, a star is going to rise, and it's the Messiah. And we see capital H him, years and years and years in the future, declaring Jesus was coming, a star, the bright morning light, the word calls him, and a scepter showing royalty, strength, power, dominion, and just rule over the nations. And it says he's battering the brow of Moab, this very nation who is evil and wanting to curse Israel. He's going to wipe them out. And it speaks of all, it goes through all the next set of verses of all the kingdoms that would be wiped out by Israel, but also in the future that Jesus is coming back, guys. He's coming back. And all the enemy and opposition and all this evil stuff, God has compassion on sinners and wants to save them from it. But the powers of darkness of this age, these nations that they represent, he's going to completely wipe them out. They don't stand a chance, right? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I just want to say, like, there is no curse. There is no curse that could reverse God's blessing on you. We see the power in this passage. The main point is nothing can come against the blessing of God on your life. That he calls you forgiven, he calls you loved, he calls you accepted, cleansed. Like, everything that he says in the word is true. And I just want to run through a few verses that just bring this to light. We know in Genesis 50, what you meant for evil against me, God meant for good. In Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:38, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. And finally, 1 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen, to the glory of God through us. Nothing formed against you. You know, there's external things in life that can feel like they were formed against you by the enemy. There's so many things. And there can even be things like we see that we talked about, how after this Balaam devised a way for Israel to fall into sin. That is a plan of the enemy. Nothing formed, no weapon like that on the external against you or devised for you to fall into temptation. Nothing will prosper in Jesus' name. All you need to do is surrender and walk with him. That is it. And, you know, I can't think of a better example than Joseph, right? He was hated by his brothers, so they're going to kill him, and they threw him into a pit. And then instead of killing him, they randomly had the idea, probably by God, to sell him into slavery. And then he's in slavery at Potiphar's house, and he's doing great. He's rising to the ranks, and then Potiphar's wife accuses him of sexual assault, thrown in prison. For we don't know how many years. Some people say it was 12 years. While in prison, he's doing a great job. He's rising to the ranks. And then you have the cupbearer and, you know, the baker, I think it was. And he tells their dreams. And the cupbearer's like, hey, I will remember you and you'll come out of here. Goes and forgets about him. Still in prison for a few more years. And then finally, he's remembered. And then he becomes the second rank in Egypt. And then finally, the promises of God that he would be the chosen son and all these blessings would flow through him and his brothers would bow down to him. Like, that all happened. So, about to be killed, sold into slavery, accused of some awful stuff, forgotten about for years and years and years in prison. And then finally it happens. Like, no weapon formed against you shall stand. And I haven't experienced anything that bad. You know, like, this knee kind of stinks, but it's not slavery and about to be murdered level, you know? So, like, nothing is outside of God's control and victory over it. He has victory over everything. And the one thing that we can mess up, right? The one thing we can do is to not receive all the blessings of God, is to step away from him, out of his will, and into sin. And like I said, Numbers 31, look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, which happens next week. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Israel, so many times, walked away from the Lord, had bad kings, all this bad stuff was happening. They didn't take the full promised land. They missed that blessing. And they were sent away to exile, and they squandered so many blessings of the Lord. But there's still the promise for them. He doesn't give up. Isaiah 54 says, the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Even when we might squander a blessing, we might step out of his will, we might sin, like these things that are so common in the world that we just start to accept and walk in, even in that, his covenant of peace does not come away from us. Like, his blessing and his love does not leave us if we hold fast our confession, if we believe him. But he wants all of us. That's not a license to just be like, okay, I get to do what I want now. This is really a door opened, right? And that's why Jesus, he says in Revelation, here, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. We all have a will. We all have a door to our heart. And we can't leave it open to the enemy. We can't leave it open to temptation and sin. We need to have that door only ever opened by Jesus, the knocking of the Messiah, right? If we open to him, he will come in, dwell with us, and have a meal with us. Isn't that amazing? So we all have that door, and we need to keep it firmly shut for the ways of the enemy and wide open for Jesus. Amen. So, in closing, just want to encourage myself too. You know, we need to trust in his promises. We need to know his promises first and foremost, right? And we need to trust. We need to believe his word. We need to stand against the devil, which we're going to read here in a moment. We need to walk in his spirit to lay hold and take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of us. So I'm going to run through some blessings here. I did this before and I liked it, so I'm doing it again. I want you to say amen, so we can get a little bit louder in here. I don't want to be the only one doing it. I want you guys to say amen kind of loud after each one of these blessings and promises that we have in Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right. So we have forgiveness of sins. Amen. We have eternal life. Amen. We have mercy and grace. Amen. We have his constant presence, amen, his indwelling Holy Spirit. We have guidance and wisdom, amen, comfort and help. Amen. We have his provision, amen, his empowerment, amen, his peace and joy, amen, answered prayers, amen, heavenly home, amen, and adoption as sons and daughters of God. Amen. Amen. That's what we have in him. And that can't be cursed. There is no curse that can trump the blessings of God in your life. Amen. So let's pray, and I have some questions we'll throw up, but Jesus, we just thank you, God, for your blessings over us, Lord, that what the enemy meant for evil, Lord, you always turn around for good. And I thank you, God, that there is no power of hell, Lord, no scheme of man that can take us from your hand, God. There is nothing that can remove us from your love, God. And I thank you for your power, Lord. It is all you. There is nothing in us, Lord, that makes us deserve this, God, but we eagerly and happily and joyfully receive it. And I pray, God, that you would just bless us, that we would be able to get away into the secret place with you, Lord, this week, and we would be able to truly experience what this means for us, that we would walk in the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. And I pray that the discussion time would just be such a great time to really lift you up, God, and be there for each other. So we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool.
Thanks for joining us at Lansdale Life Church as we praise God and discuss his word. Don't forget to join us for Worship Live Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern on YouTube. Be blessed and have a great day.